podcast. Yo! What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both on the Midnight Paco Podcast on Instagram.
That's right.
This dude got a website.
JustinFullerComedy.com. Check it out.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, we have a fellow comedian.
We do.
An improv actor.
Yes.
And a father. Ladies and gentlemen, Trevor Scott.
Yeah!
Hi, everyone. Pleasure to meet you guys.
Where can they find you?
You guys can find me. I'm Trevor Scott. You can find me at my house. But if you want to find me online, look me up on Facebook at Trevor Scott or on all social media. If you just search at Trevor Scott Laughs, I promise you my name pops up across all platforms.
There it is.
Scott and this boy.
Yeah, what's going on, dog?
What's up, man? Pleasure to be here, guys.
Hey, man.
This is great. It's like a retrofitted, like you guys renovated an ISIS studio. And
right.
This is where we perform now.
That's right.
This is it.
That's right.
This is where we're at, and this is where I sleep. It's all one, baby.
It's great to be here. This is awesome, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming, man.
So,
go ahead, man.
I was going to say, man,
I feel like a kid in the middle of a divorce right now.
Tell everybody how long you've been doing comedy.
Yeah, guys, I will be 2 years in next month, next September. What is that? We're 23 months now?
Yeah. See, everybody, that's 2 years in the game. But Trevor's been moving, dog.
Hustling.
You've been moving, man.
I'm trying, man.
And you're out there, you're doing things. And so we see it, man. And you're cool, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're a good guy, you know what I mean? And you're funny. So it's you know, it's all around.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a giant piece of, you know.
No, you're doing things, though. You know what I'm saying? And it just shows that this is what you want to do.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You're serious about comedy. You know what I'm saying? You're working at it. Your stage presence is good. You know, which we'll talk about, you know, why it's good. You know what I'm saying? But 2 years in, what made you want to do it?
It kind of just goes, like, comedy in general, I don't know. I mean, you grow up, I listened to comedy, but I never had any dreams of doing stand-up growing up.
Mm-hmm.
More so anything, I was kind of just at a low point. I was on dialysis. I was waiting for a kidney transplant.
Mm.
And, like, I've always been just a good writer, a good speaker, a good presenter, however, whatever it is I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I think I was just scrolling my basement, stand-up clips came on, and I was like, all right, well, let me try and write something about I'm going through.
Yeah, life, yeah, stuff yeah, like yeah, that. Yeah.
Showed up to a Funny Stop, and you guys happened to be there first night I ever went up. It went kind of good, and then, you know, here we are with just that niche.
Yeah.
I don't know, I guess finding out of a low point. You know, you fall into something not ever expecting to do it, and now it's the only thing I'll ever do for the rest of my life.
Right.
Yeah.
And at what age was this?
I was 27, 28.
Yeah. So basically, like, you know, and this is no jab against anybody, you know, a lot of people approach Justin or I about being on the show, we're not, like, we could do the show, we don't need guests, but the people that we actually have on the show is people that we actually like their comedy, we see what they're doing, we like what you're doing, you're hustling, you're grinding, and you sort of reminded me of myself, but you did, you know, you're more like, you know, into it, because you've been doing a lot more than I've been doing, but when I say myself is like how serious you took it, you was grinding, you don't look like you're going to be like a hit it and quit it and be out of it. Like,
no,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and I admired that. And you were good. You know, your stage presence is good. You speak well. It looked like you were a veteran comic.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, I do. And, like, I think, like, the thing is, so, you know, growing up, I tell people this, I was always just so sick growing up. I had a lot of medical problems, stuff like that. But, like, it was just kind of instilled with me, like, no matter what I did in life, I have to work five times as hard as everyone. Mm-hmm. 'Cause at any given point, my body can just say no.
Right.
So that at the point where I can't work anymore, I can't go forward anymore, all right, cool. I can just look back and watch you all catch up while I'm waiting to be able to go again. And I guess I kind of just took that into comedy too.
Yeah. I mean, you say, please remember to drink and drive. Trevor Scott Comedy, organ donations save lives. Please. So that's your shirt, which you have on. And I've also heard you mention that on stage, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And give us
the only pro drink and driving joke I've ever heard. Ever. Yeah, so I was just born kind of sick. When I was 10, I had a liver transplant. Mm. After that, I got cancer, beat that shit, and then when I was 24, I always had kidney disease my whole life. Mm. Finally, kidneys just fell off a cliff. They actually thought it was COVID. This was before, really? When COVID tests took 6 days. This is like in 2019 when COVID first came about.
Wow.
And because I already had like medical problems, right? I presented with just some symptoms, not feeling well. They locked me in a hospital room for 6 days. Wow. While they waited for a COVID test. Wow. And then come back, they're like, oh, guess what, you don't have COVID. Yeah, your kidneys are failing. Time to start dialysis.
Damn.
You know,
I mean
good.
It's like, hey, thank God I didn't get COVID, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
COVID's terrifying.
Yeah, COVID was at that time was a death
sentence. No, like this time is literally like when we didn't know what it was in the States yet. Right. Like I was February, I think, of 2019.
Wow.
And it just happened. Like I said, it was the only reason.
Terrible timing, but at least you found out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I was the only reason I was in the hospital and they were running tests is because that's how long it took to get your COVID test back.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to tear that apart, but.
Probably.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's the truth.
Yeah.
You know how they sensitive about certain words.
No. Oh, my bad.
No, it's cool.
Is that really a trigger word?
This day and age, you know, these words. Like just
I mean, the literal name of the disease.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. I know it has been in the past, but, you know, but I don't know. Good. I don't know on us. I know other podcasts, they've talked about it.
Really?
Dude, it's amazing how freedom of speech is gone. Like, you think, like, it's so crazy. We talk about it all the time. Like, growing up, I used to think, like, oh, it's all good. You know, my best friend was black, you know, half white, half black. And
I mean, so, I was like, cool, she said I reminded her of him. I grew up a small black child in Cleveland, so it's okay. We're the same guy, basically.
Same guy. So, I mean, I never, like, thought of stuff outside. I mean, I've seen it a few times, but, like, you know, you would see it here, but you didn't know how big it was.
Yeah.
Like, until you, and then, like, as you get older, you're like, it's gotten empowered, and it's just like, wow, it's out there. So it's just, you know.
It's the greatest double-edged sword, but, like, where would we be without it? It's on freedom of speech.
I know. I get it, but, I mean, I look at it like this. If you don't like it, people don't listen to it.
No, that's the way I am. That's how I feel about comedy. You guys have heard my comedy. I am not everyone's cup of tea.
No.
I am dark.
Yeah.
I offend people.
Yeah.
I do race jokes. But I don't want to be someone. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. It's easier in comedy to play to the middle, develop your following, and then maybe branch off into what you want to do.
We had a conversation last episode about clean comedy.
Okay.
Because that's where the money is, for the most part. Unless you have a way
into
the clubs and you got it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but that's where money is.
It is.
And we were like, and I say ass. You know, and I'm like, is that clean comedy? And I'm like, to me, I guess it sounds like it's not, but they say that shit on TV, but it's like, it's all about whose show it is and what they allow and what the line is.
Right.
There's no universal arbiter, you know what I mean? There's no...
Exactly. I mean, obviously the best thing to do is just write it without it, but mm-hmm. then I talk about a lot of subject material and I don't swear,
mm-hmm.
but I talk about sex yeah. in a way, but I don't swear. It's just, you know, talking about like getting wet watching Aquaman.
So
it's not filthy, but it's not clean. Technically, the subject material ain't clean.
So I would say that that's clean. If you're asking me, that's clean.
But see,
like you gotta, I've done paid clean shows. Surprisingly,
yeah.
I don't change my jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I simply don't. Cuss.
You just don't say the F-bomb.
Exactly.
You don't drop F-bombs fucking shit. Okay.
That's it. But
like
but,
you say shit or be, nope, like never, nothing.
No. I don't write with profanity.
Yeah, me neither.
No, but like yeah, me but like
you
no.
don't say bitch ass kids.
Huh?
You don't say bitch ass kids?
Nope.
That was not the funny stop. I get it though. I get it. I get it.
Nope. But like
and that's an ad lib, really. I don't have to say that. Fine. You know what I mean? It's,
but like I'm saying like even like the cancer jokes or the race jokes or stuff like that.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
I'll still do it in a quote unquote clean set.
Right, right.
But I always do like any clean set I've ever done, I've sent a video and they've been like, I mean, quite frankly, if you don't cuss, we don't care. So I was like, all right, so where's the line? Like, that's it, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
It's very iffy. It sucks. There's no universal.
I mean, so ideally, I mean, you could have a good set worked where you can work anywhere mm-hmm. in any environment.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I like to talk about what I like to talk yeah. about, which rides the line, and I like to throw in my little curses because they help.
Okay.
It's fun, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's fun. But it's you, right?
After you say that joke, you know, I do this, bitch ass kid. I mean, it's funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It adds to the joke. Obviously, you can say little babies or little wussy kids or
yeah.
something like that. But, you know, it's just, it doesn't have the same flair.
What feels more authentic to you, though?
Bitch ass kid.
Then there you go. That's where the conversation ends for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Like, personally, that's where it ends. I don't believe in... I'm going to do what I find funny mm-hmm. and what I genuinely sat down, wrote, thought about,
oh, yeah.
and, like, laughed at. You know
yeah,
what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And whether or not that means somebody super important that's God and can make my career and give me $1 billion doesn't like me,
yeah.
I guess that's what it's going to be.
Right.
Or it's like, you know, my thing was, like, like when you know it's supposed to be clean,
mm-hmm. then you need to adapt. If you can't do it, don't say yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
all. I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Basically, yeah. being at the funny stop and me saying bitches.
Bitch ass kids. Yeah.
I mean, but at the same time, you know, maybe they do allow that at the dry bar in Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, I don't know. Do you know what
yeah,
they allow?
Yeah. No. So dry bar will, from my understanding of dry bar specifically. I don't believe you're allowed to use any form of profanity. I think you can use hell, but I might be talking out of my ass.
No,
but
won't be able to use hell.
But,
yeah, right.
But yeah, no. To my understanding, dry bar specifically,
yeah.
it's the same thing. Where like I've seen dry bar specials where you could do it. You do all your material. You're just not swearing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if
yeah.
we're using dry bar as the universal arbiter,
yeah.
I guess maybe. But it goes back to the whole thing about. Like what you were saying about...
Because I'm not doing churches.
No, but like what you yeah. were saying about corporate versus clean, or that's where the money is, or how you break...
Basically, clean is you get paid more. You
yeah,
know, you get
without
more,
a doubt.
More gigs you have, whatever the case. But
yeah, but I don't know. Like, are you... I just feel that no matter what, authenticity sells.
Yeah.
And no matter in what art form. Across all industries.
Obviously, the preferred way is you find your base. You find people who dig what you say and
yeah.
just rock with you. And you
right.
go from there, because then you just do whatever. You know what I mean? That's how you build it. You know what I'm saying? Just like you said, if somebody's going to say this and that, and because I do this, they don't want me.
Mm-hmm.
You create your own path.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's yeah. hard to do.
It is.
And that's the problem.
No, it's the harder road, but I just, I don't,
yeah.
I don't see the other road. Does that make sense?
Oh, no.
I have no interest. I have no,
right.
Like, how much time do fucking we spend writing anyway? Like, I mean, it's just like, why would I want to try and put effort into stuff that I have to make funny because I don't find it funny.
Right.
Rather, as we're in conversation 3 minutes ago and now I have a bit in my phone and it just came up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just that type of
yeah,
shit.
That's
the beauty of, you know, also like hanging with comedians. Speaking to comedians is because you can get gold from that. Man, you got a lot of long rangers out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see the purpose of that because we need people.
Yeah.
Need people.
And like if you're one, you know, so we were talking earlier about pet peeves off camera of like just at a comedy club. You know what my biggest one is?
Mm.
Is the genuine, I see someone in the crowd, right? And like this isn't when I'm on stage or if I'm watching someone and they're doing a set. We all know that, all right, maybe there's a note. Maybe there's a stage presence, stuff like that. But when they get off stage, all we do is look them in the eye and say, good set.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does anyone genuinely get better for the audience or for them?
Yeah,
and I get people don't want to give notes or it might seem rude, but
I ask,
hey, can I give you what, you know, just what I thought, something like that?
Dude, if the problem with me is there's tons of times I'll sit there. Sometimes I'll think of a tag and I'll go to mean to say something to somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody sometimes will leave. Or sometimes I'll forget,
shit
like that. But you know, I gave Tammy Pescatelli a fucking tag on the show.
Did you? Did she use it?
Probably not.
Ah, damn.
Look, we gave Justin and I together. We wrote a joke
for
Vaughn Wesley.
We wrote.
Don't kill his bit. But yeah, I can see that.
No, we wrote a joke for him, but he didn't do it.
He said, "Yeah, I prefer to." You know, do my own jokes. But I'm like, this shit was gold.
For a Vaughn joke,
go ahead.
What was it?
I love you, Vaughn Wesley, by the way. Shout out Vaughn Wesley.
Shout out Vaughn. But it was for him. It was like, dude, it's just for you because we were thinking about it.
Yeah, for sure.
So I had a friend who had a car. You had to blow in the car, or you had to blow in to start it.
Yeah,
man, I hate giving blowjobs.
That's the Vaughn Wesley bit.
So I had a friend who had a car. You had to blow in to start it. Man, I hate giving blowjobs. It's the perfect Vaughn Wesley joke.
Yep, without a doubt,
Vaughn Wesley joke. It was right up his alley. He didn't want it.
He like
it's all good.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, like. I have people like, I don't have a problem sitting here and workshopping or tagging a bit what I mean? Like,
I mean, most of the time I just think of it because it's in the moment. I hear it and I'm like, oh, it'd be funny if you said this too. You know, and sometimes somebody says the same, not the same thing, but they keep going with it. And I'm like, good, okay, you paid it off.
Yeah,
all right, cool.
For
you know
sure.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
if you don't have the Discord, like how many places do you go and it feels like dog eat dog? And I hate that.
It does, and I try to, because when we're together, it doesn't, because we're just there to do our set and have a good time
and talk with everybody. Yeah.
So I try to go out every time with the mindset of, I mean, for one, it's open mics when I see everybody.
No kidding.
For the most part. I mean, even when we're doing shows, we're on shows together.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like you can't do a show by yourself.
Yeah.
And so basically, you're out there, you're doing your sets, you find people you talk with, it's cool. Hey, you want to do a show together? Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, that's what it is. It's not like if I don't do this, he won't
exactly.
have, you know what I mean? It's
exactly.
like, I don't understand that.
No, and that's the whole thing.
I don't even understand
that's
it. Really.
Like that, or even like in a sense of like, I'm not going to help this person actively get better. I'm not going to help this person tell them that. Maybe this doesn't work. Because, like, the reality is, like, if I'm up there and I have a question about a bit or I don't think I did well or something, the last thing I want is someone to just knuckle bump me and say, hey, good set.
What I
want to do is be like, no, I don't mind if someone comes up to me and says, that was fucking rough, dude.
Right. You want, I'm a realist.
I want to know.
Feedback.
Yeah. Don't fluff me. Like, just tell me if it was actually funny or not.
Well, right. I mean, okay, so... With that, it depends on, you know, I don't mind giving advice to people, but then, you know, like, you got certain people,
mm-hmm.
like, they just think they got it all.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Like some people, you can't tell. Like,
are you talking from a giving advice or from the receiving?
Both.
Okay.
Okay. So like, you give advice to people, and they just think they, you know, because certain people, who can I say? Like, okay, and it's okay, and I could be wrong. Tracksuit, for example.
Yeah.
He seems like he, in his mind, he has it all figured out. Nothing you could say to him will, you know.
Yeah.
Who's your daddy? Nothing you could say to him. That's the guy with the accordion.
Yeah.
Saying names because I don't care.
Accordion. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if you're a funny stop.
Oh, yeah.
Who's your daddy with the accordion?
I saw him,
yeah. Yeah, he started to listen because I'm like, look, you run time. You're up there cussing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so he stopped cussing and he was on the time.
But yeah, that's also the problem. Like, there's no established rules. Like, people say it's clean comedy, right? It's 5 minutes. All right. Is someone at the sound booth at 5 minutes? Your mic's cut, dog.
I mean,
if you cuss, cut the mic.
I mean, like, he was enforcing.
Yeah.
When he hosted,
he got it.
That's what you should do.
When I host, I mean, I made enemies that
you
way.
You made enemies that way.
But I don't care. It's the rules, man.
I mean, plus RIPP. You held down the rules. You know, to what
5 minutes clean.
Yeah, you held down the rules to what they were, man.
That's what it was.
You don't worry.
I always make that when I'm hosting. I say, look, we're gonna keep the tradition of Peter alive. You know, this is 5 minutes clean. I let them know, and like, you run your time. I say, if you see me approaching the stage, that means that your time is up.
Yeah.
I was joking to say I'm gonna tackle your ass off the stage. But you know, some people look at me and they keep going. I'm like, one dude, I told him to stop cursing, and he said, "Peace not here, and I'm having fun, so fuck you, Cool C." That's what he said,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Guess what happened?
You got off?
No, his mic got cut.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me?
Okay. That's what needs to happen. That's something. It's like, I don't know. There's just, it kind of goes back to that where, like, you'll have certain people give you advice, and it's just like, you have to be able to filter good and bad and know who it's coming from.
You have to
understand who you're dealing with, but, right. Like, oh, at the end of the day, I just want to know, like, all right, was it as funny as I thought it sounded when I said it on stage or not?
When you said know who it's coming from, do you mean you're not going to take any comedy advice from Unfunny Comics? Is that what you mean?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Unfunny Comics give great advice. They do, because sometimes they'll say some shit, and I'm just like, that's so bad, but I can make it good.
You said Unfunny Comics give great advice.
Yeah, sometimes. Because it's the shit, they'll point out something that you think so stupid that you'll just remind yourself, oh, never to do that.
What do you feel about, like,
are people that bad, though?
No. Because you know why they're not? Because they got on stage.
Yeah, it's like, how are some
they people... got on stage, dude.
I mean, there's people out there that aren't the best, but they, you know, they're trying to figure it out.
No, there's bad comedy.
I mean,
there's bad comedy.
Definitely.
I personally
didn't even throw any balls at the crowd lately.
No.
It was when I started over at Funny Stuff. The girl would just bean like balls every week she came. She just threw stuff at people.
I don't remember that. I do remember Simon throwing beef jerky. I thought that was pretty cool.
Beef jerky's fine. Everyone likes beef jerky, dude. Someone put beef jerky at me. I'm catching
not
it.
Not out of your pocket.
I don't want pocket jerky, bro.
It's wrap.
At least I'm back in. At least you gotta take me on a roller coaster.
At least it ain't tox.
Like some fresh tox out the pocket. I think, you know what? We will be more disgusting. Somebody catch him like,
I mean, if they're tots, I might catch them and eat them.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's lint on them, snowboarding.
That'll gross me out so much. You know that.
I mean, it's not throw up.
It might as well.
It depends. I really like tater tots.
I know, that's what I'm saying. What if you're hungry?
But they gotta be crispy, though. Like, I don't do mushy. I don't want mushy pocket tots.
If you don't have
mushy pocket tots?
If you don't have a lunch lady glove on and you throw in tots, I'm okay. You know what I mean?
So wait a minute, if I'm trying to just toss you a few tots, I gotta have a lunch lady glove?
Yeah, like, if we're just sitting here, I'm playing tots, and I was like,
yeah. I'm not going to eat from your hand. I don't know what you did. You might have pissed on it a little bit.
Right. I think he just little wants to see you dressed up like a lunch lady.
I think so.
And I got to be honest with you, I do too. That would be so great.
And I have to admit, you guys wouldn't be wrong.
If we have any
Halloween, look nice.
Anyone booking shows for Halloween, I will help you produce it. But the catch is, he has to do time dressed as a lunch lady.
No.
And I want him to do Chris Farley's lunch lady song too on stage.
Thank you. Pass.
In 2025, I'm not satisfied with a hairnet. He needs to have a beard net.
Yeah, too. Without a doubt. Safety standards.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Pass. Next question.
I'll give you $2.35.
Okay, what are we here for? Right. We're here for Trevor Scott.
I got
why are we talking about me?
$2.40.
$3.50.
$2.50. Final offer. Oh, see what I'm saying? It's money tough. Talks, it's baby.
Tough. All right. Let me cover this in.
What else do you guys want to know about me, guys?
So who are some of your influences?
I'm a huge, huge fan of George Carlin.
Shout out to George Carlin. Rest in peace.
Yeah, it's just the wordplay, the logic, that. Aside from that, I really like, I like Don Rickles, Jeff Ross. I like roast comedy or sharp wit comedy.
Yeah. You're dark. Yeah, you like
yeah, that. Stuff like that where it's
talking
just like
shit to people.
That and just off the cuff.
Yeah.
The ability to just go off the cuff.
Yeah. I think that's more comfortability.
Yeah.
Because you're just up there talking shit and you don't care.
No, yeah.
So it's just the comfortability of it. Yeah. By that, they've been in there, 20 years?
Who?
More.
Don Rickles?
Shit, 30, 40.
Well, Rickles is dead.
I know he is, but he was
so but they've been doing it like...
Yeah.
Rickles started after World War II, dude. After World War II.
Rickles?
Don Rickles?
Yeah. Didn't he just pass?
No, he's been dead.
Been gone for a while. But
really?
You know what? Looking back at Don Rickles, I got to be honest. You know, I'm a fan of, the same thing. I'm a fan of comedy. But it's just like, even with today's comedy, some people are very distasteful when it comes to, race shit. It's just like...
Yeah, no, and Rickles was.
Yeah, it was some of his shit was distasteful. I mean, I did like some of his stuff,
mm-hmm.
but even today, a lot of these young people, they can get up and say these bits, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
It's not even funny. You're just being racially mean.
There's no, and that's at the very least, I will say anything I try and do, at least I can try and justify to myself that it's all in service of the joke, or I've set a premise to say it. Whether or not people get mad at the actual joke, I can do nothing about. But I don't feel like I'm just doing it for shock value. But it's exactly that. You see, I say, there's quite a few, 19 to 22-year-old stuff like that that come around. And they all want to try and just be shock.
I know what you're saying. I probably even know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just just making sure it's funny. I got thick skin,
mm-hmm.
but it just make sure it's funny.
Yeah.
And I would like to say that I'm living proof that you can have a wonderful set
mm-hmm.
and not even mention race at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, I think my sets go, I think I do okay.
Yeah, I do too.
And I don't even mention it.
No.
Not a one time.
Not at all.
No, I tell him all the time, his set is what is made, it's made for damn near TV.
Yeah.
You could go on TV with your set.
Without a doubt.
You know what I mean?
It's clean. You could do your 90 seconds on AGT.
You just can't put your stomach up on that ass on TV.
Yeah.
They
got the budget for wide frame cameras. Chill out now.
No, just as far as the content, that's actually riding the line of sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's about as, would that be considered PG-13, maybe?
Which one?
You know, my joke with, put my stomach on the ass.
Yeah, no, that.
See, to me, that's PG, that ain't shit.
I agree, because you just sub the word, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's it. If you sub the word, it's PG. You say ass, it's not.
Or you can say up on the back or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, literally.
But
it's still talking about sex.
Doesn't matter. like the sex itself is not violate clean comedy. It's all about presenting. No one wants to hear, at least from what I understand, no one wants to hear, oh, I was all up inside her smelly tuna fish pussy. Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
Nobody no one wants to hear that anyway.
But you want to say, man, I walked by her and I thought I was watching Shark Week. That's clean. That is a clean joke. I don't care what you say.
Right.
That is a clean joke, but it's still the same thing as she's got a smelly pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not any different.
Yeah. That's a good lesson right there, folks. You hear that shit? That's a great comparison. That's a great lesson.
It's not, like, you can do sex and still work quote unquote clean.
And
it's
I walked by and heard under the sea.
Yeah. Right.
Under the sea.
Yeah.
The fuck.
Yeah, like I said, you know, okay, so this is the first. I'm gonna see.
Hit me.
What was your first impression of Midnight Paco when you first met us?
When you guys first met you, I thought you guys were...
Be honest. Hey, let the world know.
No, no, no. All right, so I thought you guys were, like, really good friends, right? But I didn't think you were as good, maybe, or maybe you're not, as good of friends as I think you are now, if that makes sense. Like, you seemed like guys who did a podcast, you did comedy together, and then, like, that's when you saw each other, if that makes sense.
We've known each other before we did this.
And I'm sure. I thought Midnight Paco formed as a result of both of you doing comedy. Which maybe
it did.
But you knew each other before doing comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
But, like, in terms of on stage and stuff, what I liked about you two in the first 2, 3, 4 open mics at Funny Stop was that every time I saw you guys, I knew who you were in terms of, and like I said, I told you, I don't remember names right away. But I remember the detail. I remember your set. You know what I mean? I remember what you said.
Right.
And just in terms of like, okay, Justin's coming up. I'm going to pay attention because I like his sound.
Mm-hmm.
Cool C is coming up. I'm going to pay attention because I like Cool C. And I like the way that he's, like, the audience is just watching you while you're up there.
Right.
Like, they're tuned into you, whether it's command of the stage presence. Like, people laugh regardless, but it was the fact that you guys weren't just, all right, we're 7 comics deep. Here's the next 5-minute spot. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That would be my earliest impression of you guys.
Yeah,
that's good.
Cool. Whether you call that unique or standout, it's like, all right, they're coming up. I remember last week. I liked what they had to say. Let me sit down and watch.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is up. Dope.
That's cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, I wish I was one of those high energy people that's like, you know, my goal is to get like roars from beginning to end.
You know what you remind me of?
Who's that?
Is, and not even like a person specifically, but you remind me like in the terms when you like, you're going through your set.
Mm-hmm.
You remind me of someone who comes from, I would call it like a creative writing or a storytelling background in terms of, it seems like everything you're saying on stage from the inflection in your voice, and whether it's just you've told the joke a lot or not, but the inflection in your voice, the body movement, all of it is subconsciously designed to keep the audience on the ride with you.
I hope so. I'll be trying.
Yeah. No. But it's not, and like I said, I don't think it's like something that maybe you're even naturally striving for. I think your natural state is just, people are watching and listening to you. And they're not hearing the guy at the table next to you, you know, who's drunk and talking to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's unique.
Cool, man. Thank you, man. I try to, because I personally, like, I think hip-hop and comedy runs parallel.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever, like, KRS-One, if he's giving a talk about what an MC should do, I'm listening, and I'm doing the same thing lightweight on stage. For example, he said something like, people always get up on the mic, his first thing they say is, I'm so-and-so and I'm this and that. He's like, no, nobody cares who you are. Nope. Go up there and rock it first. and then say who you are, where they can find you. You know what I mean?
Comics. The you have 5 minutes at an open mic.
Right.
You have 5 minutes.
Five.
The only reason there's a host at that show is to ask the audience how they're doing and turn them into a crowd. Mm-hmm. You are wasting 10 seconds if you go up there. Hi, guys. How you doing tonight? They don't care.
Right.
Tell them jokes.
Tell them jokes.
That's what the host is for.
They don't care like where they can find you yet because they don't know if you're funny.
No. Save it for the end if you absolutely have to do it. But to me, that's still just 4 seconds you wasted where you could have told another joke.
Yeah, but mine are stories, not so much. So if I don't have so many seconds, it's a wrap.
Well, and also you guys though, like you guys have. I feel like you guys have to plug, like it's the Midnight Pocket Podcast. Yeah. Like you know what I mean? Like you're kind of.
I mean, every comedian has to plug. You gotta get without followers.
Well, yeah, without
you
a
know,
doubt.
You gotta let them know who the fuck you are.
Without a
I
doubt.
I mean, at the end, you know, you ain't gotta you know like run your time on doing it. But you know what I'm saying? It's like you know, finish your set, get off. The problem is, I say sometimes so fast that people probably don't even know what the fuck I say.
You'd be like, I'm just blah, blah, blah,
I'm just fully podcast. Bye. And I'm out.
Because
I feel weird plugging shit.
Yeah.
To be honest, I feel weird saying, hey, come follow. Hey, look at me.
Great host, put it in our introduction.
What are you talking about?
Hey, from the Midnight Pocket Podcast, give it up for Justin Fuller. And, you know, or if you go first, or he'll say, you know, here's his co-host.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, but you can follow them at so-and-so. You know, you gotta let them know.
All great hosts do that. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't say that for shit for nobody. Anytime I brought up on stage, I'm like, hey, everybody, give it up for Trevor Scott. You know what I'm saying? Hey,
if I was hosting
You can follow him at Trevor Scott Live.
If he had a podcast, I wouldn't have no problem saying.
Oh, yeah, if I knew the podcast.
Hey, the host of the Trevor Experience.
Trevor
Experience.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a non-profit for never mind. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. So, you know, and you host it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you did a great job hosting. I'm like, man, who is this kid, man?
Yeah.
Who is this kid with them glasses and shit?
Like, I like hosting. I think I like hosting more than doing stand-up.
You do good at hosting. Really? Me, personally, I think you like fucking with the crowd.
Yeah.
And, like, also, like, I love watching sets, and then boom, I'm the next. I get the mic back to bring the next guy up. But guess what? Now I have a tag on your set. And
right.
Just that quick wit. That's what it all goes back to. Yeah. I think I like the art of like just hosting. Cause I get to do my material and stuff, but like being the face that the crowd sees that guides them on the show.
Right.
I got this analogy really, really early on that if you're a sports fan, to truly be a good host, right? It is the equivalent of being the best role player on the team.
Okay.
Where you don't have, it's not about your ego. If I go up there, I'm hosting on a weekend, right? Mm-hmm. I have 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether I do 4 minutes of actual material or 8 minutes of actual material. My job is to convey the information the club wants out. And I have to, like my other rule, audience has to applaud 3 times before I say anything else. Give it up for yourselves. Give it up for the staff. Give it up for someone else. Give it up for that guy's fucking shirt if you want. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah.
If you train the audience to clap, you train them to listen in unison.
Yeah.
Just all these little tips that go into being an MC and giving them the show. Like that's why at KP on Thursdays, that's why I cut the list off and redo it. That's the only reason I redo the list.
He's talking about crackpots, everybody.
Yeah.
We've mentioned it.
Okay, yeah, Crackpots Comedy Club, Maslin.
Shout out to Crackpots.
That's why I redo the list is because I look at the list. I see, there's 20 minutes of potentially dead space here.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So
it's a show.
So in addition to that, and I'm going to piggyback off of what you said. Sure. I agree with everything you said.
Yeah, everything.
But as a host, it's like if somebody's like killing it or makes the crowd go down.
Mm-hmm.
As a host,
it's your responsibility
to pick it back up. Or for some reason, shout out to Daniel Myers.
Whenever
Jay and I either come in, I know that either I'm going to go first or Justin's going to go without a doubt, and one of us is going to be towards the end.
Yep.
is because of, you know, Daniel's done this for a while and he knows who pretty much is going to do what. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny to me when I went to Crackpots and they had us first, like, first.
Like after, not even first, but we were like in like the three or four spots.
And I was like, yeah, right on, guys. It's sort of my fault because I sort of lied and said I was brand new. But I was just joking. Everybody knew.
That must have been before me.
No, everybody knew except for Ryan.
That must have been before me. Yeah, I made you guys a funny stuff before everyone over there.
Yeah, no, you didn't put the
It was like anybody knew here, or KC.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, but no. it was funny because it was like, okay.
Y'all got it.
All right. Well, I had no problems when I sat there, but you know, what else?
You got me and then Justin and somebody else that shouldn't have been the first three. Is like
Bobby G Dubs, someone like that.
No, I think it was Eric. Was it Simon?
No, it wasn't Simon. I think it was
Patrick.
Was Dober there? Was Dober up in
there? Yeah, no, but it wasn't that day. I don't think we were. Yeah, it wasn't that day.
Because, I mean, and I'm not saying, please don't take it the wrong way when I say this, but. It, you know how a roller coaster goes tick, 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 mm-hmm. tick. And then it's like.
Yeah.
I would like to consider myself as one of the ticks.
That's not just because you have them. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It was like tick, 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 tick. You put the ticks up there, and then it was like
afterwards, just the show just went downhill after that.
Oh my god!
You stupid as fuck.
Let's line up construction's important too,
but if you don't know, you don't know,
you
right?
You don't know, dude. Ain't nothing you can do about
it. That's just hilarious. You stupid. No, I mean, look, I know. Usually, like you said, we're like, if not starting the show, we're in, you know, towards the end, mid, you mm-hmm. know, we're on a sweet spot. You know what I mean? Yeah. People know. I mean, not only that, I think we're entertaining, man. I think the way at this point where we're at, I think we're just like entertaining. Well, I go off the rails sometimes, another thing that I noticed,
Trevor, I mean, because you and I, we pride ourselves on it, and we, you never seen us like, what else we got?
Yeah.
On a phone or a notepad.
Never.
Even at open mic.
I don't do it. I refuse to.
Yeah.
I refuse to. That's another fundamental thing with me. Like, music, name any genre, right? Music, comedy, hip hop, movies. For me, like, for music, give me a guitar and a fucking good written song. Mm-hmm. It's all about writing.
Right.
And I understand people have memorization issues, but at the end of the day, if you are bold enough to get up there on that stage and say it with your chest, and you wrote it,
mm-hmm.
remember it. If you only go 2 minutes because you don't have notes, make them a good fucking 2 minutes, then remember minute number three.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Or just try and do something else or talk to the crowd and then work on it. I mean, look, it sucks. Nobody wants to bomb on an open mic.
No.
Nobody wants to bomb, period.
No one wants to bomb, period, but it's fun.
But at the same time, you got to try shit.
Mm-hmm.
You got to try shit. And at the same time, most of the time, if you think about it and go over it, you'll realize, maybe that isn't.
Exactly.
And you'll change it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Once you say it on stage and you take pride in your work and you record your sets, either audio and visual.
Yeah.
I think that's,
you listen back.
I think that's the biggest thing that hurts people trying to come up more than anything is lack of genuine self-awareness.
Oh, yeah.
Lack of genuine, I have 5 tight minutes. I have 7 tight minutes. Mm-hmm. I have, or just knowing, like, okay, maybe this bit doesn't work that way. But what if I do try and play around with it and find the right combination of words?
So basically what you're saying is, like, you know, you watch your set and you have, you know, you should be conscious of what you're doing up there. Go up there with a purpose.
Yeah.
Many people got many different meanings of, or reason why they do comedy. So that's why, you know, I watch and observe before I even give advice. But, like, for example, you were saying, like, you know, like, do you have a tight 5 minutes? And what that means, a tight 5 minutes, is you know that tight 5 minutes is good. And to get a tight 5 minutes, and a lot of people don't know, You might have to do that same 5 minutes over and over again.
If you are trying to do comedy, write 5 minutes, and then the next 4 times I see you, I don't want to hear a new joke unless an old joke was that bad and you've replaced it.
Yeah.
Even literally, like, yeah. I get you want to write and write and write, and there's nothing wrong with writing. There are jokes that are in the data bank that no one's heard, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But what you're actively working to present on stage, it doesn't get tight unless you work that same thing.
I'm still working shit I start. I wrote the first time I fucking started doing comedy.
Same.
I'm still working on it. Because I've added shit to it. I've said it differently. Mm-hmm. I've done different things. You know what I mean? You change it. Yeah. But it's still the same fucking material.
And I would argue that there's any bit where I couldn't stand to ever sit back, look at it, and be like, can I make this better?
Yeah, you get rid of it.
And sometimes when you found it, like when you found a good bit that hits, it's worded perfect, you don't need to touch it, great.
Yeah.
Like the fact that, I don't know, it's crazy to think that you could say you have a tight five when every week you don't do the same five.
Right.
Or when you've never done that same five more than once.
And not even that. Look, so I probably have, at least in my thing, I'd say, like, that I could do on stage at least 25, 30 minutes of material.
Yeah.
But to have a tight five that just... I don't have that at all.
Laughter from beginning to end.
Yeah. I don't have that because mine are stories, this and that. I have, like, where I can go up there and get laughs. Yeah. Every bit gets laughs, but it's not, you know what I mean? And
it's all about density, man.
Yeah.
It's all about density of laughter.
Yeah.
How many laughs per minute can you pack in? Stuff like that.
To have that 5 minutes that rocks anywhere. And then you expand everything. Like, when you have 10 minutes, obviously you have your breather room. You know what I mean? But just to have that five that smashes every time. I don't have that.
I would argue to say, so I've gotten a lot of opportunity recently to do a lot of 25, 30, stuff like that. I did 40 last weekend. But I've never gotten, like, now going back, I had to go back to 5 twice this week.
Mm-hmm.
And while I ran my best 5, somewhere in the last month or two, I've lost the tight 5.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, oh no, that makes sense.
Like, they were good sets. They were good fives. Yeah, the jokes were good.
Yeah, yeah.
But now having to go back from a 25 to a 5 to on a dime.
Cut it down. And
it's a good 5. Yeah. It's not, I wouldn't say it's as tight as it was when I was doing that tight 5 that got me opportunities.
Yeah.
It's just coming.
We are worse critics.
Yeah. I'm really bad at it. Yeah. I'm really bad. I am.
You know, I could probably watch it and be like, damn, Trevor, you really gotten better with that. I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told that too, like, you know, yeah, I heard you do it that material before, but this tonight you really nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from like recording and watching your sets, and
and sometimes you're just loose, dog.
Sometimes you can be loose, sometimes you don't give a fuck. But I'm gonna tell you, see, me personally, I'm working on different things.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta work up here.
Because big time.
If I'm on a show, I notice this about me, I'm trying to get better. On a show and I feel like it wasn't promoted good.
Yeah.
And it's like not as enough people there.
Mm-hmm.
It throws me off. I'm working on it.
Yeah, no, but I get it.
It's in my head. I'm like, this is some bullshit.
Yeah. That doesn't throw me. That part, like, that wouldn't throw me. For me, it's, I've always, when I felt confident, I've bombed. And that's every time, 10 out of 10.
Mm.
I don't know if it's because I have anxiety and depression and on meds and stuff for years, like for that stuff. But like, if I literally don't feel a visceral pit in my stomach.
Oh, I'm always
3 minutes before showtime.
Oh, that's
then I bomb.
Oh, wow.
I bomb.
I don't know what that feeling is. I've always just nervous.
The pit in my stomach.
No, we all get it, but it goes away as soon as you call our name.
As soon as you call the name. But like the times, genuinely, every time I can remember, I bombed a lot. Every time I can remember where it was one of those bombs that you're driving home and you're questioning, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
Oh, that's every day. That's
those
every day.
Bombs for me. That stand out to me all I vividly remember just not having the butterflies, not being nervous. Every single time, was it alcohol involved? I know, I don't drink on stage.
Was it when, so say, were you like flying high, like, yeah, I'm good, I'm rocking it?
Not every single time, okay. But yes, majority. Okay. Majority, yeah. Okay. I come off a real good high, and okay. it's time to humble, you know?
Yeah.
You approach it too cocky.
Different crowds are different crowds.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what I've learned to do, and it took a minute.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I look at the audience, and sometimes I'll be like, okay, I'm going to do this set. But then when I go in and I see the demographic, the demographics in my mind.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I don't play into it.
You know, because nope. I do black or white. Mm-hmm. Okay, is the majority of the crowd black? Mm-hmm. Majority of the crowd white. Mm-hmm. I do age, like about how old and things like that.
Without a doubt,
he's good.
Is it females in the audience or more guys? That's what I do. I look at and then I watch. If I'm not first, I normally request to go.
But do you like some jokes better than the others? That's why I don't.
If I tailor my set,
yeah. I'm not gonna be as funny. Yeah. I don't care. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
But the problem
is, I don't care if I'm in a black room and I do my black jokes and I bomb. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah,
but am I gonna get shot? Fuck, I don't care. I beat cancer. I've had 2 organ transplants. What the fuck's a bullet gonna do? I don't give a shit.
It hurts, trust me. It hurts, trust me.
Oh, I'm sure.
I felt it.
I'm sure, man. I believe you. But like at the end of the day, it's like you're either gonna like what I say or you're not. So I don't pay it in mind, man. I just don't. Well, and so many comics do.
I ride with that a little bit.
I'm full sand.
I ride with you at least 98%.
That's fair.
Let me ride with that. There's that 2% that I have to switch, and I get it because, go ahead, finish your
thought. No, I'm just going to say, because my goal, in addition to, you know, I got jokes that I personally like.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking to see, I want to have a successful show.
Yeah.
So if I feel like I could be more relatable with this crowd, with this and that, I'm going to do that because I want laughter. My goal.
That show for them.
Yeah.
Well, here's the truth of the matter.
Yeah,
and I've said it before. I entertain myself.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the jokes and the things I say is funny to me. The fact that other people find it enjoyable, that's a bonus.
Right. I'm along the same line. That's honest a bonus. To God,
I got jokes that I just love to do. Like I just did a post.
Yeah.
You saw my post.
Yeah.
That was for me.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I thought that was hilarious to me. I was ready for it. I thought about it. I even asked my sister about it before I posted it. I said,
For everybody don't know, he seen some rainbow bagels. And he said, there's some bagels, honey.
Yeah, like, give me bagels, honey. And I thought it was funny to me. I got a bunch of pictures that I haven't posted because I don't want the hate, but.
Of some rainbow bagels?
Of rainbows, period. Over businesses.
No, but they're rainbow bagels.
My latest post was rainbow bagels.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, these some bagels, honey.
Yeah, you know? Some bagels,
yeah. Bagels. That's what those are right there.
These some bagels, honey. Look at these bagels, honey. So, I mean, I just thought it was hilarious to me. So that was for me.
Yeah.
I posted it.
Right.
And if I get hate, I get hate, but it was funny.
I think that all goes back. Like, as far as looking at the demographics or looking who's in the crowd and trying to deliver the best show, I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier, just in the sense where, like, I'm not trying to build for the audience. I'm not trying to build for the masses, and that's just the way that I approach it.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I've seen you perform times. I mean, you're a clean comic. And I hear, but I feel like that actually is the hindrance with someone trying to make it in clean comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Within the sense, like, you look at someone like Gillis, or you look at someone who makes it big, fucks up, it all goes away.
Yeah.
Reality is, when you're on the come up and you're trying to come up as a clean comic, can't really have a slip up, can you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have to respect the crowd.
And to piggyback, and I agree with you, but it's also like,
they know I'm a fuck up.
I've been saying this since day one.
We all did.
There's etiquette to new comics,
mm-hmm.
and I think we should all follow that etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
we're new comedians. Nobody knows who we are. Mm-hmm. You could keep it real.
Right.
You could be cool. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of real motherfuckers right now that nobody never heard of. They kept it real.
Yeah.
And they real cool. Everything they do cool.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They very real and cool and unsuccessful.
Yeah.
So you could keep it real and all that other stuff, or you know, but you gotta you know, be, you know, cock, you know, be aware of what you're doing and saying.
No, it's I mean, it's just the same argument as going like a commercial route to success or the underground scene. You know what I mean?
Reason why I think that I came out like super clean is because I started at the Funny Stop.
That's what you had to do. Yeah.
And even when I ventured out, I did a set at a room that I knew if everybody was getting dirty and raunchy and stuff, and I'm like, they don't want to hear me. I'm coming. I did it, and that was well received, but it was just like, I was still new too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a difference. Like when
How long are you guys in the game?
Four.
Five.
Probably five in December.
Yeah, right? Almost five.
Yeah, the actual. Okay.
Yeah, in the beginning of doing 5 minute sets, when you can actually breathe,
mm-hmm.
I was up there like,
yeah, man.
And the headliner was like, you were
slow
good. Slow down.
If you think comics, if you think you're going too slow, slow down.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah.
Look, even at five years old,
yeah.
If you ask me, this dude stepped on his applause break because he said he ain't got time for that shit. He had an applause, and I said, what the fuck? We all strive for it. We want an applause break. Justin was like, fuck an applause break. I'm going to keep doing my set. I ain't got time for that shit.
I'm looking at the clock. I got fucking two and a half minutes left. Did you hear it back?
I didn't listen back.
All right. Yeah. I thought in my mind, don't you like applause breaks?
I love applause very much. It feels
this
really
dude was like, fuck applause breaks. Really, I gotta finish my set.
Nah, fuck that shit, dude.
I don't know. No, either way.
Tell us what you got going on, man. Like, you're hosting.
Oh, yeah. We're all just like, I forgot. And I'm doing it. Yeah, man. Just getting all over. I got a bunch of stuff coming up, literally all over. I've gotten into a bunch of festivals.
Let's talk about it, please.
Gotten a bunch of festivals. I got asked to come out to Las Vegas in September to be one of the hosts with the main event of the World Series of Comedy.
Nice.
Just congratulations to that.
Man, that's dope. LA Comedy Club in the Strat Hotel in Vegas. We're out there for 10 days. It's going to be hopefully crazy. I'm excited. I've never been to Vegas, so
it's a good
we'll
time.
See, man.
It's expensive as fuck.
Well, I'm going to work, man.
Can I give you some advice?
Yeah.
You're going to the Strat Hotel, right?
Yeah, I'm not leaving.
Okay, so this is a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pay you your money up front with the hopes of
you this, spend it all back.
This loser is going to go down to the casino and give it right back to us.
I'm going to walk into. Here's the problem. I am a gambler. I love to gamble. But, like, I'm going out there to work.
Yeah, that's the goal.
But I'm not someone like, oh my God, there's a slot machine. Here's all my fucking cash. Yeah. Like, no.
You know what you could spend and what you can't.
That's the strategy. I'm telling you, man. They pay these comics up front, and they be like, we gonna get it back.
They can pay me up front.
How much you want? You want $5,000, $10,000? We'll give you whatever you want. Loser, you're gonna give it right now.
I just be like, hey, I want no cash. Just give me all my food for free.
Yeah,
for a week.
Right. Oh,
bro,
yeah.
That's my biggest worry, I'm gonna go hungry by day. I'm there for 10 days.
Damn, yeah.
10 days.
That's gonna be a lot of money.
So, yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off, but tell me, you got the World Series of Comedy.
The World Series of Comedy. I just got into the Northeastern Pennsylvania Festival, which is coming up in October. That's up in the Poconos Mountains. I think that's what's up there in Pennsylvania.
Nice. Yeah.
It's cool. And I just headlined last week.
Don't be in the brothel.
Yeah. And I just headlined last week at Pottopia. It was a music festival, and they did comedy there, too.
Nice.
That was up in Michigan.
Were they smoking pot?
It was a giant weed festival, yeah. It was an experience.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, all right. It was. I did well.
I mean, do you? I did well. You're dark.
No, yeah, I know. You're a dark comic. Let me put it this way. Yeah. I did well.
Okay.
It was maybe not the smoothest experience of my life as a whole. Okay. Maybe from a production standpoint.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But like it. It was fun, met some great people,
cool
stuff like that.
Yeah,
did my time, crowd liked me, sold some shirts.
Nice,
always
nice.
Important. Support local comedy, please.
Support, yes. Sir.
Come out to a show, buy shirts, buy stickers, buy
and magnets. Mics.
Apparently, you gotta buy cool, see a new microphone.
This is broke.
The word organ donation, guys. It's super important.
You know, I used to be an organ donor.
Did you? Yeah. What happened?
I got nervous, man. Like, if they're like on the edge and you're like, we may need this shit.
We really need it. They don't need your kidney that bad.
Conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I get it.
I used to. You know, I may have to get back on the train.
Yeah,
because I was almost close.
Just remember, all organ donors out there, drink up, drive home, don't be selfish. All right.
Yeah, Trevor, you're doing your thing, man. You're going full speed ahead. Like, if you could wave a reality magic wand, what will Trevor Scott be doing right now?
Like, at the top of the game?
Well, reality magic wand, not saying that you're going to grow wings and do flight like a bat and be able to hold your drink and drink. But it's like a reality.
I'll fucking slap you and throw you out this bitch like a bat.
But
never mind, go ahead.
But if you could do a reality magic wand.
Reality magic wand.
What would Trevor Scott be doing right now? Would you be writing would you star in your own sitcom? Would you be writing for Saturday Night?
No. I wanna be it'd be one of two things. I mean, traditional, literally Thursday through Sunday, get on a plane, go headline a club. Come home, and that's all I have to do.
Right.
But I, like I said, I think really like long term, I think I'd really love to do like a late night or something like that, man. I love talking to people. Talk show?
Instead of Conan O'Brien, Travis Scott.
Yeah. Travis Scott.
Yeah. I didn't go to Harvard like Conan. I mean,
it's the other ginger though.
Yeah, man. But just talking to people, understanding what makes them tick. And like I wouldn't want to do, that'd be the one thing, like if I got to a position like that and it was network, I never would, because I wouldn't want to do cheesy entertainment even for money. Right. Like I'd want to do more genuinely, like something like this, just sit down, shoot the shit, enjoy it.
Well, you can.
Yeah, I know, it's called a podcast.
Yeah,
I know.
No, but it would
just on a grander.
I'm talking like on a grander scale. Do it on TV. You know, and yeah, you have the entertainment. Like, I still want to do like actors, comics, celebrities, musicians. Let them do their plugs and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to play blackjack with a giant hand and slap him across the face.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Like it being over with.
Exactly.
Real quick, cameras and. You know what I mean?
Instead of like, what was your parents' divorce like? Yeah. You know, kind of like you ever seen Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis?
Right.
You ever
seen
his talk show on YouTube?
No, but you want to talk about things that's not obvious. Like, there's not like.
Yeah, exactly. I know you're here to plug a movie,
yeah.
But like, all right, who are you?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's right. It.
You know, yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the beauty of like a podcast, because, you know, like. You know, like maybe I try to stick to somewhat of a structured script.
Right.
Because this is your first time.
Yeah, without a doubt.
This is your first time and for the world to see you.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And
my world.
And
if you guys know who my dad is, let me know.
Damn.
But I saw you got viewers in New Zealand. That's his last known location. So let me know.
Shout out to New Zealand.
Yeah, what's up, New Zealand?
But the reason why I'm saying that is because, like, yeah, okay, all that other stuff is great, but, you know, maybe the second go around, they can, you know, get in depth if they wanted to, you know, get to know, like, the basics.
Exactly.
The first
episode,
but, you know, this is, I felt like, you know, this was, you know, for them to know what you do, who you are.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you who he is in my eyes. He's a fucking hustler.
He's a hustler.
He's grinding in the comedy scene. He's only been doing it for 2 years, and that's why he's here.
That's right.
You know, for all the comics that, you know, that have approached me about being on the show. It's not that I don't like you. It's not, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah, that's not the case. Not
I think
case.
I asked him within a month. I think I was like, hey, yo. Yeah, I'd ever want to, you know, just saying, I'd love to do that sometime. But like I told them before, like, it's just something when you're coming up in this game, there's not many people who, like, and hell, I don't know if you guys are just the world's greatest bullshitters or presenters, man. But, like, coming on here just feels like, all right, 2 years ago, if I would have seen those guys that I saw at my first 3 and 4 open mic, always repping their podcast shirts, right. Everyone seems to hang around them and like them and talk about their podcast and stuff. And then, like, here we are almost 2 years later to the day. And it's like, well, shit, we made it.
Right?
We out here.
I mean, I've seen them grinding. I've personally seen them grinding. Like, you know, like, You see some guys come out, they do their set, and then they bounce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They new comics, they want to do it. They not listening to nothing. They're not recording their sets. I've seen Trevor do his set. Then I've seen him hosting. He did a good job hosting.
Yep.
Then I've seen him at these other clubs doing his set. Then I've seen him hosting at the other clubs. He's actually doing the work. I've seen him host at like 3 different clubs with it, and he's only 2 years old in the comedy scene.
Yep.
3 different places, and I'm sure it's probably more, but I personally seen him doing it at 3 different places, and he's grinding, he's putting in the work. He's doing the work. He's doing the comedy. He's networking. He's being personable. He's not, well, he did do his set and bounce one time.
No, man. No one's gonna remember you if you ain't there, dude.
Well, like, I remember he did his set and bounced, and I asked him about it, and he told me he had something else to do.
I did.
But you know, that's neither here nor there. That was just some.
hey, for every other week. All right, good, Nana.
Yeah, but
that's Corey stuff right there.
Yeah,
that's, because people had. I mean, because people sometimes just want to get in there and get out. I get it. You know what I mean, but. You know, it's like, well, like, especially if it's somebody new, and we sit in there, we're like,
Well, in all fairness,
what are you trying to learn?
Mm-hmm.
You can see, even if you see bad comedy, you can see what not to do.
What not to do, what not to say, how not to stand, how not to twerk.
Yeah.
How not to mess with the court, like I used to.
Right.
And I think a big part of it, too, is like, excuse me if this is obvious, but like, you gotta learn how to operate within the system you're in. Mm-hmm. You're ignorant to assume that if I'm at Funny Stop on a Wednesday, it's going to operate the same place way as Crackpots on a Thursday.
Right,
it's
going
to operate the same way out at Funny Farm on a Friday.
Right.
I'm going to go out to Fort Wayne Saturday. That's going to operate the same way. You got to know how, like, if you're ignorant of the place you're in and the way you're supposed to act while you're in that specific place,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, learn how to get noticed by the people. Like, don't play the system. Play the person of the place you're at. It's just learn how they work, adapt to them, keep your name fresh in their mind, and things happen.
So
that's a Corey approach.
It is.
That's not a bad way. He's handling it.
It is. But okay, and I'm going to let in some behind the scenes underground shit.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Like, when I asked Trevor, what happened? Like, you left, like, on your set. Like, what the fuck's going on? He probably had no idea, like, that I'm, like, gauging him, like, trying to see, like.
Oh, yeah, no. No fucking clue. Yeah, At that point in time, no. I had no clue.
I was just like, dude, you left. Like, what the fuck happened? Like, but I'm asking because I wanted to know, like, okay, like, I've been watching.
You in or you out?
Yeah, like, what you doing, dude? You want to know? And it probably is all making sense to him, our conversations that we had.
Mm-hmm. Corey, that was a weird one.
Yeah, okay, I'm weird. But I'm just like,
right. He's teaching young Jedis. I get it.
No, that's all right.
Yeah, because I'm sure
we'll just put an air tag on my phone next time. Cool, see, you can find me.
No. The Padawan.
No, that one, I gotta replace it because the battery went out. But anyway, I was like, so why did you leave, man? man. Like,
what the hell did I say?
I was like, what's going on? You said, oh, I had another set, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I might have another show or something.
This was at the Funny Farm.
Oh, okay.
And you had a set, and then you bounced, and I'm like, and
oh, I saw yeah, you. I was going right to Crackpots after
Funny Farm. And I saw you the next time. I'm like, dude, I was looking for you. Like, what happened? You know, like, yeah. I just wanted to know, like,
yeah, I had.
I was good, just like,
I remember that night. Yep. So no, okay. I was going to do another show. That was literally it.
So I'm like, you know, because. Like,
am I in it? No, yeah, I'm going to do another show, yeah. An hour and 20 minutes away. What the fuck are you tracking
right,
me
for? Right, right.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, I'm asking questions, and a lot of people, either they remember or whatever, but I'm like asking questions because it's like, Is he the truth?
If you can pay attention to everything going around, you can typically figure out the person, man.
Yeah.
Well, somewhat. I mean, I've been wrong.
Yeah, people are good. People are good.
Yeah.
I've been wrong, but it's just like.
And then shit just happened.
Yeah, because like I said, we don't want no fly-by-nights on this show. And nope. Like,
yeah.
Like, people that, you know, we actually mess with are on the show. We could have a different guest every week. There's so many comics out here, but, you know, like.
We got a lot of solo episodes. We don't mind.
No, but it was like.
That's when we get big pops. Don't worry.
No, I
we
just,
still content people. We don't need guests, but we love having people on.
Yeah, man. I love having people that, you know, that takes this seriously.
Well, no, I'm with you too. There's so many people that you'll see, and it's exactly that. It's fly by night, or like. You'll see people, I know 3, 4, 5 names I could list just offhand at the weekly mic I run at Crackpots. It's like, I've never seen them do a different set, or if I did, maybe it was a different joke. There's never improvement, there's never that. But like, those people don't want what we want from this.
Yeah.
So you gotta.
Which is weird, because you gotta find out what people want.
Yeah, you gotta meet them there. Are some people legitimately, this is how they burn stress?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My issue comes up when you have the people who want what all of us truly want, the fame, the shows, the clout, if you will.
Yeah.
But never do any of the work.
Right.
That's when I have a problem.
Yeah.
But you know what? To be honest with you, man, it's like, you know, people have different idols, and they normally like mock their career after their idols.
Yeah.
And I just had a conversation with this kid that I think is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you know he likes the Belushis. You know he likes the what's my man's name that. Ended his life, but he
Candy Farley.
Farley and yeah,
Hedberg.
That's him.
Mitch.
Yeah. Mitch. He was, you know, and I talked to him and I said, bro, you're good. You don't have to be funny as hell and then die. Mm-hmm. You could be funny as hell and keep living.
Amen.
You don't have to die.
Yeah, no kidding. And be funny. No,
but he's on that line.
Yeah.
And I'm going by his car, like he's headed there in that direction.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm like, bro, you're good, but you don't have to crash out like that.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
I mean,
I look forward to my eventual relapse. That'll be a good.
No.
But
you say no.
So first of all, let me just say this.
You say no to that.
Look, I was like, wouldn't it be great to just go so high and mighty and super famous, and then watch myself crash and burn?
It's all time to burn it down, man.
Look. I mean, and I'm gonna just say this, and I'm not preaching, but. You survived a lot of things.
Yeah.
And
God's blessed you with
God
this.
Kept you here for a reason. It means that you got a job. So you got to, you want to be mindful of how you thank him.
Yeah.
Really, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and this is just me, and I don't expect everybody to be me, but if I had kidney issues, this would be all the fuck I'll be drinking. Thank you, God, for keeping me here. This is all I'm drinking.
But it was Pepsi.
Yeah.
Mr. Belvedere.
It was soda. I don't know. Religion, spirituality, that's another thing. But, like, why would I have been through so much just to do nothing? That's something I struggle with internally every day of my life.
Yeah.
I will say this, and that in the fact. Like, I started dialysis in 2020. My kidneys failed. I was 24 years old. I didn't start comedy till almost 2.5 years later. where in the meantime my dad passed unexpectedly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm still on dialysis actively waiting for a kidney transplant, and I said, screw it, let me try comedy, right?
Yeah.
And that gave me the strength just to get to the transplant, and not just in terms of getting the laughs, getting on shows. Yeah, it gave me something to work for. I wasn't just sitting in my basement jerking off every day.
Yeah, but
like, it gave me something to do. But like, the people that I met, you know, the sense of community.
Yeah.
And then I get healthy. I get the kidney transplant. You know, God bless whoever was fortunate enough to, or I'm sorry, unfortunate enough to have a loss in their life that allowed me to be here.
Right.
But then you're at this crossroads again where like it's like, all right, I still have to get treatment and assistance and stuff like that. So do I go back to a normal 9-to-5 job that I'm qualified to do where I can make a good living and provide for myself?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I stay on the same kind of programs and stuff I was on before, but now I have however much time I want a week to write, to invest in mics, to go out, to network, to play the game, if you will.
Right.
People don't have the luxury of the time that I do.
No.
But I would.
But still, I mean,
whether I ever make it or not,
mm-hmm.
I said this. I've said this to my mother. I've said this to my girlfriend. I've said this to people in my life. Whether success looks like me being able to pay my bills with no problem or not,
mm-hmm.
and whether it's delusion or not, I don't want to do anything else for the rest of my life.
I got you, man.
And that's, you know, whatever that looks like 10 years from now,
right?
I've accepted and I'm okay with.
I got you.
Yeah.
I look at it like this. As long as I'm able to pay my bills, I'm good. And I'm making a certain amount a week now, so if I can make what I'm making a month doing comedy, that's all I'm looking for.
That's it, baby. I hear y'all, but shit, you know.
I get it, man. He wants everything.
That's the bougie side of the table. Yeah. He's like, I need the Subway store in my house.
I want Shamu. I want to be the first person to have Shamu.
That's my river ducking.
You know what I mean? Like,
Shamu is
look, you come visit
though.
Me, you're going to hear a splash every 5 minutes. You're going to be like, what the fuck is that? Oh, you want to know what it is? Let me show you what it is. It's fucking Shamu.
How crappy would that be just to get rich enough to buy Shamu?
That's
and you get in the bathtub with him,
yeah.
And it's a killer whale.
Yeah.
Be like, you're dead.
You're dead. You're fucking dead. I got Shamu
and dolphins and shit.
Shamu and dolphins.
I'm almost smile like him.
What is the one exotic animal? One exotic animal. If you could truly own one and you don't have to worry about any repercussions of it harming
like,
you.
I would say if it killing you?
No. You don't have to do probably. Any repercussions at all. Like that way, you still have to provide for it and have take care of it.
Hmm.
But it won't harm you.
Oh, God.
Well, so it would be things. Like
so what
maybe
is
a lion or a gorilla.
I'm a gorilla. I'm gorilla for
I'm Shamu and gorilla because I have both. Because what was that movie called? Zookeeper with Kevin James.
Oh yeah, Zookeeper. Yeah.
You know what? These listen.
If you're about to say Zookeeper was a great movie, we're gonna have some problems. But go ahead.
No, I didn't think it was a great movie, but I did like the fact that he had the gorilla at Applebee's or something or Fridays or something. And not to say that Justin reminds me of a gorilla or ape or anything.
I'm hairy as fuck.
No, but it do remind me of him when the gorilla was looking at the menu and staring, trying to figure out
what the hell it said.
What he wanted, and he was like, I'll just have 38 oranges or some shit like that. That's what Justin does. Every time we go out, he's looking at the menu. He's staring at the menu. And I'm looking at him like, why the fuck you got the menu? You're going to order the same fucking thing.
And does he?
All the time. And he'll stare at the menu for like 10 minutes. And he'll be like, I'll have this chicken sandwich. I'm like, what the fuck? We could have been ordering. You knew he was going to get a chicken sandwich. What the fuck? He's staring at the menu. He got it. Look, he go and get his readers. He put them on and he's staring at the menu for like 10 minutes.
Man, there's options.
And I'm looking at him like, why the fuck are you looking at the menu?
You got to look at all the options and then you got to go to the fallback, baby. And then you got to see which one's available. They got a cheddar fucking chicken sandwich. They got cheddar bacon. They got a motherfucking Hawaiian. They got a motherfucking avocado.
So that's on one page. That's all on one page.
They got different types.
I get it, but like, can't you just, if you're ultimately like, So is there ever an instance where it's not going to be some form of chicken sandwich?
It's a club.
Yeah, because it depends.
Then stop looking at the other shit and just go straight to the chicken sandwich section.
I gotta look at that.
That at least cuts 3 minutes out. Because
depending on where we're at, I gotta see what kind of wings they got. But most of the time I don't get wings because they don't know how to cook them right. Then I look to see if they got Italian combo of some sort. You know what I'm saying? Because I like Italian combos. They're legit. And then I go for the fallback as a chicken sandwich. And then I got to see what kind of chicken sandwich. Like I said, there's options.
You're the same kind of kid that only ate Dino chicken nuggets and Kraft mac and cheese as a kid.
Pretty close. And that's why they have canes. Ramen noodles.
Canes is for those kids.
Chicken fingers and fries.
I think I saw that on a prior episode.
Chicken fingers and fries.
No, I think I saw.
You like canes, don't you?
I don't remember who it was. I think both of y'all might have disrespected canes.
Yeah. See?
But,
I think both of y'all disrespected canes.
He likes canes. He's born in 95. He likes canes.
Canes is delicious. It's not better than Popeyes. It's not better than Bojangles. Everything else come at me with canes chicken fingers and fries. Fuck you. Chicken fingers are delicious, dog. Chicken fingers are like...
Look,
You're the same kind of dude who wants, like, oh, you're looking at a plate full of chicken. Someone cooks you some fried chicken, right? Or you have the bucket of KFC. You're the dude who digs in and gets that big, fat fucking breast that's all mushy and shit and feels like your grandmama's titty after a mammogram.
No, that's not it.
You get a crispy drumstick?
I pulled up in that bitch to get a chicken sandwich, and they offered a chicken finger sandwich.
See, Canes is for the generation of this guy right here.
And millennials, dude. It's chicken fingers.
What's the chicken fingers? That's it.
I don't want chicken fingers on a sandwich, but also I don't need bread everywhere I go.
I get it.
I understand the top of your head looks like the flat loaf of an Italian fucking roll like there.
So good. Hearty and nice and tasty.
It is. Delicious. It's delicious. But fucking...
I get it. The chicken fingers and fries. They shouldn't have called it raisin canes.
Do you not like the sauce?
The sauce is awesome.
The sauce is fucking phenomenal.
But the chicken fingers without the sauce...
Get them extra crispy. That's my only advice. Get it well done.
Just call chicken fingers and fries.
Get it well done.
Why call them raisin canes? Chicken fingers and fries.
It's after the dog.
Which dog?
You didn't know that? What's named after?
What dog?
The owner's dog. His name's Kane.
Motherfucker.
Cain and Abel. But anyway.
Chicken fingers and fries.
Chicken fingers and fries. You know what?
But you got a rider right here.
So I'm just saying.
He's a millennial, though. You said it.
Listen.
Yeah, I am a millennial, but listen.
I understand they made a whole point. It's for my generation, which is fine. So members of the millennial generation, what I want you to do right now.
They don't even offer tater tots. It's just fries.
If it was tater tots, no options. These guys would eat raw dog tater tots if you threw them at them. They'll eat them.
If they're crispy. I'm not eating mushy tater tots.
No.
What I want you guys all to do, all the millennials
crispy.
That come across this, that listen, that watch, first and foremost, what you're going to do, you're going to like, you're going to comment, you're going to subscribe for these guys. Because that's going to help them out, which in turn will help me out.
Yes.
And it's a big community we're all going to eat. That should be the goal. If they're eating, I'm eating, we're all eating. That's how it goes. But what after you do all the nice stuff for them, I need you guys to just spam them with why Canes is delicious. And what we're going to do, I want you to tag Canes in this. Guys, I'm a traveling comedian, Canes. I endorse your food. I travel all over. I'd love to eat at your restaurants for free. And I promise you, if you take me up on this offer, I will make both these guys take a giant bath in Cane sauce. All right. Thank you, Canes. This is my plug for sponsorship. They already both verbally agreed. They said your sauce was awesome.
The sauce is awesome.
So let's do this, Canes. Let's do this, Canes.
It's almost like a generic.
Justin, shut up. I'm trying to get a deal here.
Yes, it is. Let's do it, Canes.
Let's do it, Canes.
I'll take a bath.
We'll start a new challenge for instead of like the ice bucket challenge, we're going to do the cane sauce challenge.
Cane sauce
challenge. And I feel like that one fittingly should be for like diabetes or childhood obesity, but cane sauce challenge to fight childhood obesity. Let's get it done.
Shout out to Daniel Myers.
Shout out to Daniel Myers.
Hey, on that note, where can they find you at, Jay?
Everybody, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the_great_CORE. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Pocket Podcast.
That's right.
This dude has a website.
JustinFullerComedy.com. Check it out.
And Trevor, where can they find you?
All across social media, YouTube, everything, at Trevor Scott Laughs.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. We would like to thank everybody for tuning in. Please check this guy out. Yeah. Follow him. He's funny as hell.
Yes, he is.
Great in the room. Thanks for tuning in to the Midnight Pocket Podcast, man.
Appreciate
good shit,
you,
man.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, it was a great time. Great time.
See you out next week.
Woo-woo. Hey.
Peace out.
Midnight Pocket. Midnight Pocket Podcast. Midnight Pocket Podcast. Midnight Pocket Podcast.